Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Play looks like drawing a penalty. Prescott over the middle to Turpin. Gets smoked right away. The 49ers back to the championship game.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Guys, I don't even know anymore. It's about them Cowboys. We're going to break this one down. We've got Saad from The Athletic. We've got John Machota in Santa Clara. And to lead us through this one, the birthday boy, KT. Hey, KT.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Well, here we are.
Just never thought it in this way, KT, right? I mean, it's not surprising. It's just like when the moment hits, it's like, wow, that really happened.
I'll say this, before we go to John in California, I did not necessarily see the season ending on Zeke snapping the ball and getting trucked with the offensive lineman flanked out at the numbers. I didn't know if I saw that coming.
No, I think you did. I think we could pull up the pod from back in September where you specifically said the season will end on Zeke getting trucked on a Hail Mary attempt.
Well, live at Alcatraz, let's go to John. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. That was a good way to start it with the hello darkness, my old friend, because that's how I feel covering this team sometimes, where you're just like, all right, what do I say that's positive? How can I put a positive spin on this? And I just don't have any of that today. You know, obviously different games than last year's wild card loss to the 49ers, but also kind of similar, where I walked away from both of them saying 49ers were a better team. And you think, though, that I felt like for the Cowboys to win this game, there was no question Dak was going to have to outplay Brock Purdy, and that just didn't happen. Not just this game, but just this whole season, just how Dak, the ups and downs with Dak with the interceptions. Because, you know, after the game, we're in the post-game press conference, and Dak saying a lot of the same stuff he said before in a little bit different way about how, you know, I promise that I'm not going to have another season like this ever again, like in terms of the interception numbers are never going to be this high again. And it's just like, yeah, but he's also said after multiple games this year, and it just kept happening. And frankly, to have two interceptions in this game and probably could have had four, I mean, regardless of how well the defense was going to play, they were not going to be, this 49ers team is really, really good. And they were not going to beat them, especially in their home field, turning the ball over twice. And like I said, it easily could have been four. But there were just, I don't know, there's just a lot of things from this game that stood out to me. But the Dak interceptions obviously topped the list. He had to play. I understand the San Francisco defense is very good. It's excellent. Probably the best in the league. I get all of that. But he had to be better. He had to get other receivers involved. I never thought we would come out of this game saying, you know, he got CD involved, but he never really got anybody else involved to that level. And I didn't think that would be the case even early on. You know, when they marched down the field and he had that touchdown to Dalton Schultz, there were some Tampa Bay vibes there. Then as the game went on, there were some Washington vibes coming in there. And it was just like in these last 3 weeks to see Dak play, hit the highs and the lows that he did. You're just, I know the opponents are always different, but again, man, it is year seven, you know, and you have to be critical of that. I mean, that's the most important position on your team. I will say, obviously, Tony Pollard getting injured, you knew he wasn't coming back. Jerry said after the game that, you know, they wouldn't even have had him if they had advanced. It's a pretty serious, you know, injury in terms of the timeline and when he would be back. So, I mean, he was going to be lost regardless. And I just don't feel like they had enough legitimate playmakers outside of him to where you were going to advance, probably even past Philadelphia. And then if you beat Philadelphia, whoever you would potentially play in the Super Bowl, but that's way down the line. There's just, I have a lot of thoughts on things. Kevontae Turpin, I thought there was a chance he potentially could have taken that one return to the house. And then the last one before I go back to you guys is, I know they don't throw to Trayvon Diggs a lot, man, but when they throw to you in that situation late in the third, he's got to have the interception. You just have to. You have to intercept that pass. The worst corner in your team has to intercept that pass, let alone the corner that had 11 interceptions last year. He has to intercept that pass.
Yeah, I think, you know, to build off of KT's point that he's made kind of throughout the entire season, kind of would have been nice to have Amari Cooper today. To be honest, would have been nice when Tony Pollard goes down to have Amari Cooper along with CeeDee Lamb, but you know, that wasn't true. You know, my main takeaway from this game is along the lines of John, but it's a lot more disappointment because, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, really ever since the Dak new shine kind of wore off after like 17-18, Dak has just been such a polarizing figure in the Cowboys lexicon, whether it's media, fan base, whatever, and you either find yourself defending him or hating him. And I've always been on the side of defending Dak, and I still think he's a good quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback and all that. But I think, like, you know, I was definitely like, you know, I've been riding with Dak and in terms of I believe in him and all that. And you guys, you know, we've been doing this podcast. I told you, like, you know, I feel like the interception is something he can cut down. But, you know, it wasn't really both interceptions were bad. Maybe the first one, I don't know if that was on Gallup or not, which, by the way, we need to talk about Michael Gallup, too. That's a whole different story. But the second one was just awful. But actually, it was neither one of those that really bothered me the most. It was the one at the end of the game that should have been a pick six to seal it. Like, that's just... Like, I know that was an interception, but that was worse than both of the interceptions that he threw. You just can't do that in that situation when you're the quarterback. The Greenlaw dropping that pick six, like, that was just absolutely, you know, the worst. And I think my biggest takeaway is I kind of feel like the boy who cried wolf in a way. Like, I feel like, you know, I just kind of kept coming back and back and it was like, you know, it's going to fix. And then it just never did. And the biggest moments, it failed the Cowboys.
There's a lot of things that are going to be, you know, discussed and what it's almost impossible to get all to like at once here. But so you could have like the long-term discussion of Dak and what he is and all of that. But the truth is it's kind of wasted breath because the contract is done and he is with you until, you know, 2025 or 2026, whenever his contract runs out. And that's, you know, so there's that. But the other thing I think is the fear of what something John just said, like year seven, and it almost like you sit in and you go, oh, wow, it is year seven. Wow, kind of time flies, right? As I turned 35 today, I've been thinking about that a little bit too. But like year seven, there we go. Okay, well, has he peaked out? Like, is that the best he can do? And the thing that I keep coming back to is those are terrible interceptions that he threw today and should have been a third one. There was a couple more that John had mentioned earlier as well. 49ers were rushing four. They were dropping seven. What was the problem with the Cowboys offense last year? Teams that would rush four and drop seven. And we never got that figured out. And becomes a huge problem today. This is different than the interceptions when it hits, you know, Noah Brown in the chest or it hits Peyton Hendershot in the hands and bounces off and someone intercepts it. We don't need to look at this interception numbers. We know we got a problem here. And I don't know how that is fixed, and maybe more weapons does it. Sure would be nice to have weapons the way Brock Purdy does. I think the only way to get around this is just to make the roster around him better. Replacing him is not an option. Trading him is not an option. Getting rid of him is not an option. Moving on from Dak is not an option.
Ton of free agents next year. You know, Dalton, you know, not a lot of cap room. It's going to be tough to keep this team together.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick on Dalton, like I know the game was out of hand at this point. I don't think him making the right decisions necessarily changes the outcome, but you know, that's your most veteran, reliable pass catcher, and he takes 20 seconds off the clock and then doesn't get the second foot down on back-to-back plays on the final last gasp. Like, it's just it was just the most Cowboys way to end a game, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think he's back. I thought that they would have to make some type of like a Super Bowl run to try and, you know, work the numbers to be able to keep him and Tony Pollard. Just like, you know, you mentioned Amari Cooper earlier, like I've said many times, I believe if they would have made the Super Bowl last year or maybe in the NFC Championship game, I think Amari Cooper would have been back because it would have been hard for Jerry to move on from him. He would have been like, we were that close, the closest we've been in whatever, 25, 26 years. We got to try and run this thing back. And so your decisions are a little bit different when you have the same exact result you had the year before. And so, yeah, there are tough decisions that need to be made. But yeah, there's no question at the wide receiver position, he's got to get, they got to put some other players around him because Michael Gallup in name sounds good, but the Michael Gallup we saw this year is not the Michael Gallup that they gave the new contract to. He just was never right this entire season. I mean, there were plays here and there, but just the entire, if you look at the totality of the season, I just never thought Michael Gallup was, I mean, now that we've seen the full season, he never performed like a number two wide receiver. So I think that that's certainly an issue. You got to find a way to get some other playmakers around there for him. And then also you'd hope that your offensive line gets better as well. And, you know, that you bring back Tony Pollard, however it is, but then you probably add something in the running game in the draft. But, you know, they went into the season thinking that they'd get more than they did from Michael Gallup and Jalen Tolbert. There's no question about that. I mean, they got nothing from Jalen Tolbert, and Gallup performed more like a number three receiver than a two who they thought had the potential upside to perform.
Who's
like
Jalen
a one.
Tolbert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they used a third round pick on him. So you're hoping he can, you know, bring something, but, what else did I want to talk to you guys about here early on? Brett Maher thought for sure that he was going to be a reason they lost this game. And he actually wasn't. That was stunning. You want to talk about a mental thing to miss another extra point, but then make both your field goals. I mean, that just screams a mental thing to me. I don't know if you guys had seen like myself and some other people tweeted before the game that some of the San Francisco players kind of got in front of Maher and when he was about to kick field goals. Matt Burrows, our 49ers writer, talked to some players after the 49ers players after the game, and they said that they were going to warm up on that side, and then the Cowboys just started warming up, I guess, and so that kind of annoyed them. So there was some argument about whose side of the field that they were supposed to be on. That's why it was. But it looked like from afar, you're just watching this, you're like, I wonder if they're trying to get in Maher's head, but sounds like that wasn't the case. But that was obviously going to be a storyline coming off the game that he had, and then to miss his very first extra point. And I understand it was blocked, but I don't know if it wasn't blocked, if that thing would have went in anyway. So
no, it wouldn't. There's no
Maher
chance.
Was out there 19 hours earlier when usually it's just the home team. So usually they don't have to argue about that.
So after the game, you know, we talked to Jerry as a group, but then myself and a few other reporters walked off with him just because, you know, we might not talk to Jerry for, you know, several days, weeks, whatever, you know. So I wanted to ask him about Dan Quinn and you know, potentially losing him and how you make up for that and some other big picture things, you know. But what was really interesting is when Jerry was asked about if this game did anything to impact Mike McCarthy's job status, he said no. I mean, very definitively. But his very next sentence was about Maher. And the way he said it, and I tweeted out the video, it was like, and he said basically like Maher making those kicks kind of vindicated. The decision. Like almost like Jerry might have went to Mike and been like, we need to go in another direction at kicker here. And Mike backed Maher. Like for him to immediately, he wasn't asked anything about Maher. He was asked specifically about Mike McCarthy. I found that very interesting that he jumped right to the Maher decision like that. I'm just like, oh, that is interesting that, you know, that it just made it seem like that Jerry was clearly wanted to go in another direction at kicker. And Mike talked him into, no, let's stick with Maher, which would have been really interesting if they lose the game because of a field goal. Because I'll tell you, there were points in this game where I was like, you can't even kick field goals. You're going to have to go for two. And they obviously had more faith in him than I did and probably we did. So that the whole thing was fascinating.
Also, like before the game, seeing Jerry Jones go down and talk to Brett Maher, right. Like Tim Kawakami even tweeted like, I don't think I've ever seen that happen in any, I don't think there's a comparable to that, but just to see the pictures of him down there giving a pep talk to Brett Maher after he's shanking field goals and warm up, like That's just wild.
Hey, but we don't know what he said, Saad. What if he was walking up to him and he goes, I tried to tell Mike to go in another direction. But he said, we're sticking with you. So we're sticking with you. Go get him.
It did affect how they managed this game, because I think one of the key, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened in this game, right? One of the key sequences, fourth and four, and they're like, okay, well, this is it, second quarter. And they let the clock go down in the two-minute warning, and they decide to go for it. And they get the first down. Dak runs for the first down. Very next play, Tony Pollard gets hurt. But they were looking at a second and two. And look, a lot had just happened. There's a minute and 15 seconds on the clock, second and two. And they decided to go to the air there. And they had time, but Tony Pollard's gone again. And Dak threw an interception.
And when they took the delay of the game and just punted instead of trying to kick a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, that's another key thing later in the game, too. You know, that interception leads to San Francisco getting 9 points. At the time, I was like, well, the Cowboys are going to get 6 or 8 points here. It just felt like a field goal wasn't an option. But, you know, I guess it would have been if they were a little closer. They were at the 36, I think, when they decided on fourth and four to go for it after the two-minute warning. It would have been a 53-yarder. If a guy's, you know, going through what Brett Barr's going through, you're probably not going to send him out there for a 53-yarder. And the field position's kind of risky at that point. So, now I get it. But, like, you look at that sequence, well, it ends up with Dak throwing an interception on I don't know what he was like. He didn't see Tre'Varius Ward, and there you go. 49ers get the ball, end up getting 3 points, have a 9-6 halftime lead. I think the other sequence that Kit brought up is important. And I don't know how I felt. I mean, at the time, I was kind of like, I can kind of see this from everywhere. I don't know if there's a clear analytical winner there, but it is fourth and five on the San Francisco 40. And this is after, you know, they hit CeeDee Lamb on that big bomb. What a catch. And then it's fourth and five on the 40, and they decide to punt, and they go ahead and take the delay of game. And then the punt pins San Francisco inside the 10-yard line, and then San Francisco has that big 90-yard drive. And that's, you know, kind of the key drive of the game right there, I would say. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know that you can, like, put that on McCarthy or anything. Fourth and five's tough at the 40. That's no man's land. And, you know, I think you want to be against a lesser defense. Hell yeah, let's go for it. You know, it's a 49ers defense. I'm not sure. But they played that very, very strangely, too, because that third and five, you could have looked at it as if we might be going for it on fourth down. Maybe we treat the fourth down play different. You know, they threw that pass on third and five there over the middle. It was over Fred Warner. And CeeDee Lamb almost caught it, but, you know, the percentage chance of making that catch was not good. Kind of took a big shot down the middle of the field there on third and five. Like they
also, T.Y. Really Hilton. T.Y. Hilton was running wide open,
yeah,
on the opposite side of that seam. Just.
Yeah, there's bit too when you say that, Saad. You know, I didn't see that particular play. I didn't notice that on that particular play. But when you say about the Amari Cooper thing earlier, KT, there is a part of me too that on these games where there has been multiple interceptions, you can certainly question how well Dak's been seeing the field. So obviously Amari Cooper gives you some easier throws, but there's been some times, you know, the Washington game and certainly again today where you're like, I don't know with how he's seeing the field, if even the other wide receiver would have made that much of a difference. I believe it would have, you know, if basically Michael Gallup played to a number two level, I think it would have made a difference, but there's certainly a lot there for, you can be critical of Dak of as well in terms of like seeing things and finding open receivers on top of it. Cause one of the things I keep going back to is, you know, momentum, I believe, is a huge thing. And some people don't believe in momentum. That's fine. But when Kelvin Joseph forces that fumble, you got to get seven there. This isn't, you just have to. Oh, I mean, you got it. What did they get it at the 21?
20, yeah.
And then they got a first down, first and goal from the 9. I mean, you got to punch that thing in. You need seven there. And so on the first play, he hit Schultz, got a couple yards. And then Zeke, they hand it off to him. He loses a yard. And then Dak ends up throwing to Zeke down that short throw to the middle that ended up being incomplete. And it just, I mean, it was, you had to get seven there. You had to. And that's one, like I mentioned Trayvon Diggs not getting the interception, but that's another one right there. I mean, you got to get more than three out of that.
Yeah. No, those are huge plays that just like swing games and quite frankly are the difference.
And yeah.
Well, as you say, like the 49ers are the favorite to win, and the 49ers have a better roster. That's the thing that's tough for me is just like, well, you had your chance here to go and, you know, he's just wide open right here to go get it. And it's been kind of wide open in the whole conference. We just kind of weed out Rodgers and Brady and some of these dudes. Right. And I feel like the Eagles are gettable, you know?
If the Brock Purdy year isn't the year, what wins the year? Right.
Yeah.
Well, last year, the Jimmy Garoppolo year, again, I keep beating this dead horse and I'll beat it again. I mean, you're in that similar situation where you have the ball late in those last two series and Fred Warner and Nick Bosa are on the field and you're at home. You got to go down the field. So when we're late in this game and they got the chance to tie it up late and Nick Bosa and Fred Warner are on the field and they're in San Francisco, I'm not feeling very confident about that.
Hey, at least they got the snap off this year. Yeah. But seriously, like, KT, to your point about this being so self-inflicted, to go back to, like, obviously there were the 49ers scored 19 points. What was that, like, two touchdowns, right? Or did they just score one? They just scored one touchdown, right? And then
the McCaffrey touchdown.
Yeah, just the so think about that touchdown drive, and there's three plays for me. One, that Kittle catch, as amazing as it was, Trayvon Diggs, you got
incredible.
It. You got to separate the receiver from the ball. Like, if you just touch Kittle, he's not going to have he can't finish the catch. If you just give him a good shove. So that's one thing. Then Trayvon Diggs drops the ball for the interception. And then Donovan Wilson mauls Kittle
right.
for a holding when they were backed up, when they were going to lose yardage in that situation. And it's an automatic first down. And that was their lone touchdown drive, and the Cowboys shot themselves in the foot three times on that drive.
How about the fact that on the one where, and I completely agree with you on the Diggs play, he's got to, and even if he doesn't separate him, he's got to put some type of a lick on him. And the way that play unraveled, you know, that was Neville Gallimore running with Kittle down the middle of the field. You know, that's who's checking George Kittle was Neville Gallimore, your defensive tackle, who was inactive last week, was a healthy scratch for the Tampa Bay game. But anyway, I agree with that stuff. One other thing I want to touch on with you guys real quick is the what did you think about the idea to punt when it was, I believe, 4th and 10 late, as opposed to trying to go for it deep in your own territory, 4th and 10? I feel like Mike McCarthy wanted to extend the game because he had his three timeouts. But there's part of me right there where I was like, this probably is when you got to go for it. I know if you throw an incomplete pass, they take the ball over here, the game's over, but I kind of felt like they should have went for it there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I initially actually thought like a punt is not a terrible idea. And then like 1 second later, I thought about how gassed that defense looked in the previous drive. And I was like, I don't know if you're going to get the ball back. I'm surprised they even did. And thanks to Elijah Mitchell running out of bounds, they did. But but really, like, they shouldn't have got the ball back. So I kind of feel vindicated in terms of, like, it not just being hindsight. It's just that defense, the previous drive was so gassed.
I didn't – so that changes because if you're punting that ball at 225 rather than, you know, 210, you know, 230 – it just felt like it was 30 seconds to get everything going. And I thought the ref, they didn't, on the TV broadcast, Olsen was kind of killing the Cowboys for clock management. I thought the ref was holding on and not letting them snap because they were letting the San Francisco sub, because the Cowboys ran their punt team on and that they gave San Francisco time to make substitutions. It doesn't matter. I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the game too much there, right?
So you're saying the ref was in the way.
I guess what I'd say is, like, yeah, the ref is in the way again. No, but like I think I'm probably more convicted on going for it on 4th and 5 at the San Francisco 40 in a 9-9 game than I am 4th and 10. Just right there, you just, because it is for sure over, right? If you do it then and you don't get the first down.
What if I would have told you that Christian McCaffrey ran for 35 yards, and Deebo Samuel had 45 receiving yards? What do you think you would have said the score to that game would be?
I told you that the Cowboys won.
19-12.
Let me also tell you that CeeDee Lamb is going to have 117 receiving yards.
I've been like, man, this is looking pretty nice right here. We're in good shape.
The other thing,
Cowboys
too, especially
definitely covered.
Especially early on, man, was turn back the clock day for DeMarcus Lawrence, man. He was just wrecking shop.
Yeah, Tank was
great. The defense wrecked shop today.
Yeah, the way he played, I kind of was like, man, they're kind of wasting this performance. Because my big picture thing, like, you know, you talk about where they go after the season and all that. Like, every day that goes by, I just feel like they're wasting Micah Parsons' prime. You know, it's like, this is the time to capitalize on this. Which is not true, by the way. It's not true. I mean, when you think about it, you know, yeah. TJ Watt, you know, he didn't have his best years. I mean, he continued to ascend and get better. It's not like Nick Bosa is only in his second or third year. You know, I mean, these guys, Joey Bosa is still, you know, I mean, he's still got good years, but I don't know.
Like Luka.
yeah. To the point where it's like, man, these are going to be his best years. And this team generally doesn't have those type of defensive playmakers up front. Like, let's, you know, max out this window, you know, and maybe they will, you know, maybe they come back next year and they're a better team, but it's just hard for me to sit here today and say that that's going to happen.
Well, you're going to, and again, later in the week, we'll be back with, you know, talking to free agents and should they stay or should they go, that type of stuff. You'll probably, and it sucks what happened to Tony Pollard. You're probably in a position to franchise tag Tony Pollard. Now, who knows what the front office thinks on that, but you're probably in that position. If you want to keep him around, the thing I'll say, yes, Dak was outplayed by Mr. Irrelevant. Okay, now that's a tough pill to swallow right there. But Dak does not have the cyborgs, you know, running routes that Brock Purdy has. And I know the stat line might not show it. Although Kittle gave the Cowboys a lot of trouble today.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I'd rather have CeeDee Lamb than Deebo Samuel today.
Just today, but yeah. Yes. But like, that's where I kind of like it's, but you know, the thing is, overall, like, I think I was pretty happy with how the Cowboys matched up physically. Overall, we kind of knew the Cowboys weren't going to run the ball well. And once Tony Pollard was out of the game, the idea of running the ball was not going to happen. Like, we knew that was not going to happen.
But on the touchdown drive, I will say, I mean, the way it was dialed up and the way they were cooking, I was like, man, this is. Where has this been? Like, there were just some plays that they ran there where I'm like, damn, okay. All right. They're saving up some stuff. They're pulling some stuff. They're going to get kind of crafty here. They're going to get this done with a little bit of duct tape and some WD-40 and a shoelace. And they're going to pull this off. And we'd never seen another drive like that the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Like MacGruber.
Exactly.
Yeah. Overall, it's real easy. Like, you try to make it simple. Yeah, well, your quarterback needed to have another perfect game, right? Or close to perfect.
No,
game.
I don't think so. No, I disagree. I disagree.
That's different, right?
I disagree. Yeah. I just think a solid, good game.
Keep the training on the track. Yeah.
If we're just looking at stat sheet, just tell me that he doesn't throw two interceptions. Give me the Purdy line. Give me the Purdy line right here. What do you have? Brock Purdy, 29 or 19 of 29. 214 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions. Dak, 23 of 37, 206 yards. He had the one touchdown, but the two interceptions, and then the point that there could have been a third and a fourth. Like, he just did not seem dialed in at all. And to your point, KT, obviously this is a different defense. This defense has caused problems for him, you know, and that was very evident. But I just, you can't have the turnovers. If he doesn't have those turnovers, and he just has the one touchdown pass, I think the Cowboys win this game.
I think that was probably the most frustrating part for me too, with, like, you know, as I led off saying, being like more of a Dak defender, is just like, he didn't have to be superhuman. He didn't have to do any of that. You know, it was just one of those things where if you were just Alex Smith, bus driver type quarterback, like, that would have been good enough on this day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, basically what Brock Purdy was. But I think that's a little frustrating, because again, when you talk about like some of those interceptions he had, those are not like they gave 3 points to San Francisco, but it also, we always talk about point swings, right? So it took 3 points minimum away from Dallas as well. And you know, when John is kind of reading off those stat lines and talking about like, what if I told you McCaffrey had this much, Deebo had this much, CD caught this much, Maher was not a problem. It's just like every single thing lines up to just Cowboys win, and it didn't happen.
I'm kind of just torn. Like,
Maher missed the extra point. I don't know.
He would have missed that one, but like
Dak hasn't been that. I'm always gonna make because sometimes Dak got. I thought this would stop by now, but and there's a million narratives about the Cowboys quarterback. But the idea that Dak was kind of getting good, he got compared to Alex Smith a lot. Like Dak now, and really for the last 3 years, has been a guy's kind of a gunslinger, and the interception numbers showed that this year. I think what's the fear is that, well, my fear is that we have major issues with seeing the field.
Yeah.
With when a team can rush for and handle it. And I didn't think the offensive line did a bad job, but there was noticeable more pressure on Dak this game than there was in the Tampa Bay game. And it was kind of a bad omen when Tyler Smith got called for a holding on Nick Bosa on the first offensive play of the game. I was like, oh, crap.
Brutal.
That's
and then
good.
A false start, like two plays.
Yeah,
but quickly soon after,
you know, they held it together. It's not like Dak was getting sacked a ton. I mean, he it was under a lot more duress than last week for sure. But like, you're just watching, and I rewound all his interceptions multiple times. Just sitting there watching, I was like, okay, they're dropping seven here, and he's just not seeing the other guy. But who was running open? No one was running open, and I. Brock Purdy at least 5 to 10 times a game has someone running wide open. And whether that's the scheme or whatever, I don't know. I really don't know. It's real easy to go, who do we blame here? And much like last year, I think the frustrating thing is, well, there's about 5 to 10 things that are just laid out there that they just need to be better at. And they're close. And I don't know how you get over the hump besides being better or maybe having some better players at certain positions.
Yeah, and part of that blame, though, KT, is also kind of like, you know, what we talked about in the preview podcast when I think you asked us, like, you know, which quarterback is better or whatever, and kind of how we dove into, like, okay, Dak is better in a vacuum, in isolation, but which quarterback has the better situation going in? And, you know, Brock Purdy, sure, he had receivers running open, but again, this is a secondary without Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis, and, you know, banged up and all that. Whereas, you know, for the 49ers, it wasn't that way. So I think that makes a difference as well.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey,
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But well, John, I know you get some closing thoughts out there from California. We'll catch up later in this week. We'll do more cleaning up and talk about the future and things like that. So, John, let us have it. Go ahead and give us your parting words at this Cowboy funeral.
Yeah, I mean, kind of going off what you guys just said there, I doubt that they go in a different direction at offensive coordinator because of the fact of, are they going to bring in a new offensive mind that is going to put in new plays and change things around? Is that better for Dak? And because Jerry's not going to want to do a rebuild. He thinks that this team is close. It just needs to make a couple adjustments. So that makes me think that they won't go in another direction there. One other thing I wanted to note was 7 penalties with this crew. This was going to be the crew that wasn't going to call very much. So with a crew that calls a lot, that's probably the equivalent of about 12 or 13. So that kind of showed its head again in this game. There's not really a lot more for me to add. It's one of those things where I don't want to put the whole thing on Dak Prescott because clearly there's a lot more involved than that. But he's your franchise quarterback, and they needed him to play a good game. He didn't have to be great. He didn't have to be superhuman like he was in Tampa Bay. He just had to play a good game, and he didn't. And so for the second consecutive year, the 49ers end their season. And I guess I was under the thought process of that maybe that Tampa Bay game would spark him. So all of a sudden he was going to put it together and he was going to play really well in this game, go to Philly, play really well there, and then go into a Super Bowl where he clearly was going to be looked as the underdog quarterback because he was going to face a Burrow or a, you know, a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoy covering Dak Prescott. He's a great dude. You root for the guy. You would like to see him have success. But he gives you plenty of things to make you question his decision making and certain things that he does for, again, a quarterback that's in year 7. But like you said earlier, KT, they're not going in another direction at quarterback, and I wouldn't suggest them to go another. There's a way better chance you get the wrong guy than you get a better guy, way better chance. And so I don't think that would be the answer. Just you hope that another offseason they put some better weapons around him, that it can be different next year, that they can get back to this spot, but then have enough to get past it. But you watch this over the years and it makes you wonder, you know. I mean, I've been covering this team since 2011 and I haven't seen them win a divisional round game. So I can't sit here and say that I have great faith that it's just on the horizon. Maybe it'll happen. But it's one of those things where they got to show me. I'm not going to just project that to happen. Sure. I have to see the changes. I have to see them take that next step.
And some of that's just improving the roster. Well, John, thank you very much. And for, you know, all your road trips all season long on these games, we really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you in a few days. We'll kind of take a look at the free agency list and all that stuff and kind of go from there.
Oh, we're going to put together a plan. We're going to fix this we always do. We're going to put together a plan, all right? So don't everybody just sit tight. Let us get
40 days.
40 days.
40 days.
40 moves. We're going to get it fixed. So I'll see you.
We've done so good fixing it over the years. So, yeah, let's try it again. Yeah, I mean, I think we've all kind of set our piece here. I mean, it's tough because I don't want to it's not all on Dak, clearly. There's many things going on, but that can't happen. And it did. And you know, I don't know. Josh Allen didn't play well today. Is he going to take the heat? He absolutely is, right? He's absolutely going to take the heat for what happened today in Buffalo. So it's the territory. I have no interest in going down these wild paths that the two teams in the NFC Championship have gone in to find their quarterback. Just searching for Carson Wentz or Nick Foles got us there that one year and maybe he can do it. And, you know, I don't know, this Jalen Hurts guy, maybe we'll let him play. Now can we panic trade Carson Wentz? Or, you know, Trey Lance, let's trade all our draft picks and go get this guy at the top. And then now he gets hurt and we have Jimmy and then he gets hurt and then you fall into Brock Purdy. I have no interest in getting on that hamster wheel at the quarterback position I know a lot of Cowboys fans probably are interested in that, but the amount of good luck that would take that it has taken for those two franchises to get there. One thing those teams have done is they've drafted really well and they've made some really savvy trades and free agent moves. And that's kind of where my fear is, like, how do you make this roster better around Dak, right? Because that's the best way to help Dak, is to make it better around him. And I know the other thing is, well, $40 million, he's eating up all the cap. The cap's going to keep going up, and he will continue to look like an affordable quarterback, especially in terms of guaranteed money, when the NFL and the Cleveland Browns decided to give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. Wait until you see the contract the Ravens give Lamar Jackson. Like, Dak's contract's going to look pretty friendly at some point. The thing is, also sucks, though, his contract kind of starts kicking in, like, next year. Like, this year, I think his hit was pretty low in terms of the cap hit on that. So, that's a little, you know, you can't start over. It would be wild. We'll see it where Jerry's at. I mean, you feel like McCarthy's safe. We'll see what happens there. I mean, until Sean Payton is the head coach of a team, that narrative doesn't die. You probably lose Dan Quinn. You undoubtedly are going to lose Dan Quinn, it seems like. I guess I thought that last year, but and I don't know that it makes sense to start over at Kellen. I mean, if you're going to rip it to the studs, you got to rip it to the studs, and that's just didn't make sense to do that. So this is what the Cowboys like to do, too. The Cowboys are a let's just kind of stay in it, and they had some bad luck and some bad playoff performances. That's the story of 25-plus years, man.
Yeah. Yeah, just for my closing thoughts, KT, like, I think for me, I'm with you and what John said as well. It's not all on Dak. I don't think it's all on him, but this is not the day to really bring out the Dak defense. Like, this was not a good performance for him. But what you said, like, I don't see, like, you know, I even replied, like, I asked someone on Twitter, they're like, Dak is not the answer. I was like, okay, well, what do you recommend? Like, trading for Derek Carr, trading for Trey Lance, like, what do you recommend? Like, there's not a better solution out there. So then you make do with what you have. And it's not that you can't win with Dak. Like, it's I don't believe that, because the 49ers are winning with Brock Purdy. I know it was like a decade ago, but the Ravens won with Joe Flacco. Like, you know, you see these things happen. And I think, you know, I forgot who it was, but it was a really respected NFL journalist who said, you don't really judge just by who makes the Super Bowl. Judge by the final four. So judge by the players that are in the championship games. And I think Dak is caliber of being there. But you brought up, you know, those two situations. Look at the situation Purdy's in. We just saw all that. But then look at what the Eagles have done. You got Dallas Goedert. You got A.J. Brown. You got Devontae Smith. And you got a good offensive line. And then you're building on the defense. And I think that's what you have to do with Dak. You know, you can get out of Zeke's contract now. So I think, you know, that frees up a little bit. But at the end of the day, I do think that, you know, this team has their quarterback. And whether you like it or not, that's just kind of a reality. Some Cowboys fans may not remember it, but I certainly do as someone who grew up in Dallas and even covered the end of the Tony Romo era. Same conversation that was happening at times during the Tony Romo era. And it's just not feasible that there's going to be another quarterback.
Yeah, it's not feasible, and it doesn't make sense with the money. And I don't know. It's tough. Like, you come off this.
It's like, if you can't change the coach, can't change the quarterback, you're losing a ton of guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty bleak, man.
The concern is that, well, there's a lot of concerns, I guess. To me, I got big concerns with just, like, not even the same team, just the way that they played him. It's like, okay, well, we know how to beat him now. If there's a bunch of dudes dropping back in coverage, and then you're kind of in playing a zone most of the time, and I don't know. I mean, some of that might fall on Kellen's shoulders too. So, you know, we'll see what Jerry's thinking and Steven and all that. Not that we'll probably agree with what they're thinking. I know the outlook of what you could do offensively changes if you have another really good wide receiver. The truth is, CeeDee Lamb was getting separation. Noah Brown and Michael Gallup, who you spent all year or most of the year as your number two and number three wide receivers, were near the bottom of the league and getting separation. That's impossible to work with. You just can't. You can't do that. And they had a really good offense. In some metrics, the number one offense in the league. So you come to all that and you go, okay, well, wow, we just got to play better in the playoffs against teams that are really good. Here's another thing. And I know we're trying to get out of here, so I'll be quick. But the other thing is, whatever happened with the Cowboys defense at the end of the year and some of the things with Dak turning the ball over, maybe you win that Jacksonville game and you win the Week 18 game and you're the number one seed and you get the Giants. And compare the New York Giants to the team the Cowboys played tonight and you're like, good Lord. I mean, the Eagles as the one seed really benefited from that. And that's another thing that I think is highly frustrating is like that ended up kind of being in your grasp. That Jacksonville game is going to stand out. The Noah Brown pick six, and that's going to jump out at you. Like, if you won that game, then maybe a game plan for the Week 18 game against Washington. You win that game, and then you're at home on Wild Card Week, and then you're getting ready for the Giants at home. You know, that's a whole different route, and we're talking about the Cowboys getting ready for San Francisco and Philadelphia at home next week.
Yeah, but KT, when we talk about things like, you know, Dalton Schultz, kind of the way that the game ended, and we kind of say that's the most Cowboys way to end a game, what you're talking about is the most Cowboys way to end a season, to lose that Jacksonville game the way they did and the chips fall where they do. You know, it's just that's just kind of how it goes. Like, you know, so I think you're right. But again, that's kind of what we've seen from this team for the last 27 years.
This is Dak's chance, too, I think, this year and last year to kind of be talked about in the Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow world. And it's like, nah, Kirk Cousins. You know, I mean, the Raiders made the call on Derek Carr. Hey, we're moving on. I mean, it's something the Cowboys could look into. Financially, it would destroy them. So, but
please,
Brady and Aaron Rodgers are out there, Jerry. What are you thinking? No, I mean, it's not that it's that's nonsense, right? But the scary thing is, like, have we seen the best football that Dak has played? And I hope not. There's also some weird, like, Romo connotations that I'm sensing or feeling a little bit too. I mean, there's some tough Romo losses that weren't even in the playoffs, you know, and he had to wear the brunt of it, you know. So, I don't know. Hopefully that they can prove and just make the roster better around him. You know, the positives, and we can do some positives and negatives a little further away from this thing. But, you know, it's for now, it's just like,
hey, you know,
damn Cowboys.
If you want me to give you a couple of positives even from the loss, I thought Deron Bland looked pretty good, and I think you have something there going forward. Israel Mukuamu also, you know, solid. You know, they just got to play where they do. We talked about DeMarcus Lawrence. I thought Micah Parsons looked energized and looked good. You know, he wasn't superhuman, but I thought he looked fine. Like, he was great. So I think you're right. There's definitely positives to draw from.
Tyler Smith. Left tackle of the future. You got it figured out, you know, and
that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, you were worried about that, and, you know, we'll see when you get Terrence Steele back. And you liked what you got from Terrence Steele this year, things like that. And big decisions to make in free agency, which we'll cover a little later in the week, but for now, that's it. So make sure if you have any questions or comments on the podcast, holler at us on Twitter and all that stuff. We like to interact. So for our producer, Kent Garrison, for Father John Machota out live in San Francisco, well, Santa Clara, I guess. And for Saad Youssef, who you need to be following covering the Dallas Stars. First place in the Western Conference right now, Saad?
That's right. Riding high.
See? Just transition your energy towards hockey, Cowboys fans. We'll be fine. I'm Kevin. We'll be back later in the week. We got a lot of stuff we got to get to. We got a lot of grunt work to do. We've got a plan. And we'll have it for you a little later in the week. Thank you very much for listening all year long about them Cowboys.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. with you again.
I fucked it up.